Well, good morning again, and happy Thanksgiving. Before we get into this today, why don't we go to prayer? Father, thanks so much for today. Thank you for the worship that's already taking place here. Thank you for all that you are doing in our lives and around our lives. And Father, we just have such a desire to join you in what you're doing. Father, this morning, as we're going to look into your word, I pray, Lord, would this be a time of discovery for my friends, and Lord, of remembering, oh my goodness, so much that we have to be thankful for. Lord Jesus, as I come to present your word today, I pray that you would forgive me my sins and cleanse me. Holy Spirit, I ask you come fill me up, and just, Jesus, preach this message with me today. May you be glorified. In your name I pray. Amen. Well, I don't know if this happens in your family or not, but from time to time, we've done this in my own. We'll go to my sister's place for Thanksgiving. She lives in London. And we all get there, and my family, her family, my mom and dad are there. And, I mean, now we're at the stage where some of our adult children aren't there anymore, but we still get together. And my sister, pretty much every single year, asks the same question as we're all sitting around. What do you have to be thankful for this year? And then, you know, people burst into trying to talk over each other because they have so much to be thankful for. Okay, that doesn't happen. It's quiet. People stop looking at her. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, wait a minute. My kids are there. And I'm thinking, like, I can help you because I know some things you should be thankful for. Like your mom. Be thankful for your mom. Or your dad. Yeah, here I am. I'm right here in front of you. You can be thankful for me. But it seems that when that question comes, there's always a pause. And it takes some time to turn our thoughts towards what we are thankful for. And it's not just millennials that seem to have a hard time thinking of what they're thankful for. I think it's all of us. Every one of us at all ages. It takes us time to consider what we're thankful for. What ought to bring gratitude into our lives. Because there is so much we have to be thankful for. And we should not be thankful on just one day a year. Or even over the course of a long weekend that we call Thanksgiving. No. There are so many good things that come into our lives that gratitude and thankfulness ought to rise up within us. And if we allow that to happen, I think it would change us in some pretty cool ways. Now, this is just an observation. But it seems that our culture and thankfulness and gratitude within our culture seems to be going the way of the dodo. And if you act thankful, like if you start acting thankfully, it can take people back. You know, it's funny at times, and I've shared many times that I ride my bike, and I'll go along Etobicoke Creek Trail, and I'll go by someone, and I have a little bell that I ring, ding, ding, as I get close. So, you know, they know I'm coming. I don't scare people. I have scared people. And it's just horrible. Ah! That's not good. So I always ring before I get there. And so they will, sometimes they'll step out of the way. Other times they'll grab their dog so it doesn't attack me or something. And when I ride up to them, and I'm going to be going by them, I always say, thank you. And it's incredible. Because sometimes they're shocked that I said thank you. And some of them are like, oh. Others are like, you're welcome. And they wave at me. And one time, there was these four teenage boys, and they looked really cool. And one of them saw me coming, and he hit his friends and said, hey, look out. And so they stepped aside. I'm like, this is so cool. So I said, thanks. Thank you. And they're like, yeah, thank man. You know, you're welcome, man. You're welcome. As I went by. But people respond to thankfulness. And sometimes it surprises them. I mean, think about this. You're in a store. And you're Walmart, and you can't find something. Canadian Tire, you can't find something. And you go to one of the salespersons. You ask them for help, and they actually help you. They help you find what you're looking for. Stop and say thank you to them for your help. It will take them back, because a lot of people don't do that. But we could. We should. And it sometimes surprises people when we are thankful. And you might remember from last week, we talked about being light in this world. And when you're thankful, you can brighten up someone's day. And this kind of fits with us as Christians. Because you might remember from last week, we talked about the fact that there ought to be light coming from our life. Now, metaphorically speaking, light coming from our lives. In fact, Jesus addresses this in Matthew 5, 14 to 16. He says, "You're the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men and women, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Let your light shine. And we know that we as Christians are to bring truth. We know that we are to share Jesus with the world around us. And Paul says something that I think is pretty cool. He says, "Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life." Paul says it. We ought to shine. In fact, shine like stars as we hold out the word of life, which is the Bible, which is the truth. And this shining, I think, is important because if we are holding out the word of life, the word of truth, it would be important for people to want to take it from us, to have a desire to take it and explore it and to come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And as I read a few weeks ago, and we talked about this too, from 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are Christ's ambassadors, right? And so God are making his appeal through us. So where am I going with all this? Well, we have all the reasons in the world to be thankful people. You know, and I know this can be a bit of a cliche, but we ought to have an attitude of gratitude. Because women and men, young adults, youth and children who live from a place of thankfulness, those are people that you want to be around. A thankful person is someone who really can brighten up your day. And seeing as we're supposed to be light, that's a good thing as Christians. And most of the thankful people on the planet, I'm thinking, should be Christians. We should be the most thankful people on this planet. Jesus said that people might see our good deeds. And then you can go many places with that. But this morning, on this Thanksgiving Sunday, let's walk into reality that every day we have so much to be thankful for. But, why is there always a but? There always seems to be a but. But we are living in this culture. And as I mentioned, it's not really all that thankful. Nope. And there seems to be something running rampant in our society, and it touches all of us, and we can get caught up in this, and we will never be able to battle this unless we name it. And I've taken all the guesswork out of this today because it's right there on the front of your bulletin. Entitlement. Entitlement. We live in a world where people have this sense that they are entitled to all kinds of things. And oftentimes, it's keyed into things that we see as our rights. Now, the first two definitions of entitlement have to do with rights. The fact of having a right to something, and we get this. I mean, if you pay for a gym membership somewhere, you have the right to use the equipment at that gym membership. Or the second part of the definition, you have entitlement, the amount to which a person has a right. So if you're working for a company and you have three weeks vacations given to you, well, you're entitled to those 3 weeks. And I think those two kind of get in the way of thankfulness, but this last one, man, this is where people go sideways completely. The belief that one is inherently deserving of privileges or special treatment. Yeah. You know, the other two, they might hurt us. This one is like kryptonite to thankfulness. This is the seepage that will drain you of thankfulness. Because why would you ever be thankful for something that you deserve or have a right to? And so when you get that thing or go on that vacation or you get that raise at work, you're not feeling thankful because you're entitled to that. In fact, you're thinking, finally, finally. In fact, you might even be a little perturbed that you had to wait for it. Now, let me tell you right now, because I love you, if you have that kind of attitude, it is going to diminish your own experience with whatever it is that you're going on or you're receiving. It will be diminished by your lack of thankfulness. You enjoy whatever it is less, not more. And call me crazy, but I think this is taking place in the world in which we live. And it's taking place everywhere, and maybe in our own lives. Now, we touched on this passage last week from Ephesians 4. We're coming back to it again, but we're going to go a little bit deeper into the passage this week. So Ephesians 4, 17 to 24. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. Now, Paul here is encouraging us all to not fall back into a self-indulgent way of life. I love the fact that Paul points to where the battle takes place, because that battle is taking place in our minds, in our thinking, how we think, and what we think on has such an incredible impact in each of our lives. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of their ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. It's as if their thinking has gone bad. They think they know what they need in life, the best way to live, and God is not in the picture. And they're chasing after other things that promise fulfillment, pleasure, and a measure of meaning in life. And in so doing, their hearts become hard. Now, the word used here for hardening is porosis, and it's used to describe a kind of petrification. In fact, today, it's used medically to represent the callus formed when a bone has been broken and then reset. And that callus is even harder that forms than the bone itself. But this nasty porosis, this hardening, has affected the hearts of those who are far from God. And I worry that in our day and age, that many a follower of Jesus has also been affected by this hardening because they've never truly allowed Jesus to be Lord in their lives. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. Now, when we read this, what might jump to the conclusion that because of the words used, sensuality, impurity, and lust, that this is referencing all things to do with physical pleasure only. But it goes beyond that. It goes beyond that. Because there is a greed for more. More of everything. Because they are trying to fill this emptiness within them with anything and everything other than what will truly make the difference. Ephesians 4:20. However, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that's in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Our old self. So let me kind of just put this out there today. When I was made new in Jesus, when I was a kid, my old self was gone and a new Scott took his place spiritually. And yet, my old self didn't go very far. He kind of stayed with me. And it's constantly been trying to get my attention ever since the day I asked Jesus to be Lord of my life. And I tell you, there are times that the old Scott has had no influence in my life whatsoever. And that's been pretty cool. I wish that was always true, but it's not. Because there are times the old me tells me that I have all kinds of rights. And there are things that I deserve on this side of eternity. In fact, I deserve them, and I deserve them now. And if I allow my mind to entertain these things that I think I deserve, that I might even have a right to, and I listen to my old self, well, let me just put this out there too. I don't need anyone to tell me how messed up I am, because I already know. I know that I am messed up. That's why I need Jesus so badly. If I listen to my old self, do you know what I become? I become a jerk. I actually do. And sometimes I feel entitled by these deceitful desires. And I can turn into a pretty thankless person. You know where this happens? I know you do, because I bet it happens to you too. It happens most often in our homes with the people that you value and you would say you love the most. Because because in the home, these deceitful desires, they sneak up on you. Because you're in your home. And in your home, come on, you ought to be entitled in your home. I mean, you've worked hard. And there's all kinds of things that you deserve. Do you know what you deserve? You deserve obedient children. Yes, you do. You deserve that. Who are constantly thanking you for all that you do for them, for feeding them, for clothing them, for giving them a nice bed to sleep in. You deserve obedient children who are so thankful. And you deserve wonderful meals. You do. Made for you. You know, or you deserve to go out and eat at places that you want to eat. You know what else you deserve? You deserve the leftovers. You do. Your adult children should not be stealing those from the fridge and taking them to work with them, because they're your leftovers for your lunches. That's what you deserve. And you deserve that when you come home from work, you ought to be able to sit down and relax, because you've had a hard day. And you ought to be able to sit down and watch what you want to watch on your TV, because you deserve that. You know what else you deserve? And guys, this might kind of go for you, but you deserve sex with your wife. You do, without all the hard work of romancing her. You deserve that. You do. You have needs, and you deserve it. And you deserve to spend your money on the stuff you want. So when you go to the mall, you're looking for a new pair of shoes. It's not for your kids, it's for you. Yeah. You deserve that. In fact, guys, you deserve the latest and greatest tech stuff. Come on. Come on. Can I get an amen? Yeah. You deserve that. And you deserve to go on vacation where you want to go. You deserve that. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And you can take all those deserves that I just said and replace them with, I am entitled to. And come on, be honest with yourself. As I had that little, you know, tirade, weren't there some of you who wanted to jump up and yell amen? Come on, I got to tell you, in the first service today, I got two amens as I went through that. Amen, amen. I feel it too. I, like many of you, in Christ, have been made new in the attitude of my mind. And my friends, it is with that change in Jesus that we can be released from entitlement. And we can put off the old self, even though that old self just keeps yapping at us. And it's going to keep yapping at us until Jesus takes us home or he comes back once again. But we do not need to respond to or react to our old self because we have been made new. And the reality is we don't deserve anything good. But the great blessing is we have received much from the hand of God. And it is there with our new mind that we have been made new in Jesus, and our perspective changes. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. There is a perspective change. And if we might see all the blessings we have received, understanding that they are gifts from God, and we live with good gifts from God every day, and we actually began to say, thank you, Lord, for all these gifts. Because when we enter into that and we start becoming thankful, I mean, that thankfulness, that perspective of being thankful people will seep into all areas of our lives. And as we thank God, as we thank Jesus for all they have done for us, all they've given us, here is some incredible wisdom from Solomon, from Ecclesiastes 6:9. Enjoy what you have rather than desiring what you don't have. Just dreaming about nice things is meaningless, like chasing the wind. Let me put it this way. Be thankful for what you have now. Your health, your family, your friends, the food in that refrigerator you have at home, maybe that turkey that's even in the oven right now as we're here cooking. Be thankful. Be thankful for that job or that car that you get to drive. Be thankful for public transportation. Or how about the clothes on your back? Or that closet or dresser that is full of those clothes you have at home. Home. You have a home. Be thankful for that. Be thankful for a church family to do life with. How about thankfulness for the beauty of creation that's all around us? And be thankful for all that Jesus has done for us. We remembered what he did for us this morning during communion. Thankfulness. And we should be thankful that we have a good, good Father who loves us, who has given the Holy Spirit to us, to indwell us and to strengthen us so we have strength to draw upon to do life, even when it's hard, especially when it's hard. See, we have so much to be thankful for. We need to marinate in that kind of thankfulness. And we ought to be thankful. Thankful. Get your eyes off what you don't have. What the world and your old self is telling you that you deserve, that you are entitled to. And get your eyes on to what you do have. It's like what the old hymn says. Count your blessings. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Okay, we need to do this. We need to sit down with a pen and paper, and we need to start writing out all the blessings in our lives, all the good things that we have in our lives. Write them out. And it really will be like the hymn says. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Because we are a blessed people, and we have so much physically, spiritually. We have so much. And in that thankfulness, out of that gratitude, live your life and express it. Express that thankfulness. Feeling thankful and not expressing it is like wrapping up a present and not giving it. And we were never entitled to anything. And if we can come to understand that, we can be released from this false belief. And it will change us for the good. And we can understand all that God has given us. All that he has done for us. And we can be released from entitlement and released to thankfulness. And when we start doing life from a thankful perspective, with gratitude coming out of us, we shine. Oh, we do. We do. We shine. We find ourselves saying thank you to people all over the place because we begin to realize people do nice things for us all the time. We begin to thank God all the time because we realize, oh my goodness, that's a blessing from God. That's a blessing from God. We become thankful people and we begin to shine bright in a thankless world. And we impact the people around us. I mean, come on. Christians ought to be the most cheerful people on the planet. Because we, oh my goodness, we are living in the grace and the goodness of God. We have a Father who has proven to us through the gift of His Son and in so many other ways His love for us. We ought to be the most thankful people on the planet. You know what? And I said, we don't deserve. There is something we deserve. And that is total separation from God in a very nasty place called hell that is offensive to our thinking. That's what we deserve. And that's what we've been saved from because of the gift of Jesus. There is thankfulness that ought to just pour out of us. So I want to encourage you today. Change your perspective. Stop thinking about what you don't have. Start thinking upon what you already do. Because we are a people who have much. And today, if you're here, I mean, thank God for your health. I mean, it's a wonderful thing. I'm getting older. I'm realizing it's kind of going sideways at times. I'm thankful that I can still ride my bike on Etobicoke Creek Trail. And there is so much to be thankful for. And out of our lives, oh my goodness, let the light shine. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you so much. You are so good to us. And I pray today that my friends who are here, and some of them might be, well, they might be grumpy. Because they're upset about something that hasn't happened for them or something they wanted that they haven't gotten. Or God, can you change their perspective? Can you help them? And could they make the choice to not listen to that old self of entitlement, but Lord, that they would begin to listen to who you've made them to be in you, Jesus. And they would begin to see all that you've done for them and are continuing to do for them. Change our perspective, Lord. Make us, help us to become in ever-increasing ways men and women and youth and kids who live with a spirit of gratitude constantly flowing out of us, that we can be lights in this world as we hold out the word of truth. May you be glorified, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. Our benediction this morning, boy, it's a good passage. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you have been called to peace and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God, the Father, through Him. My friends, we have so much to be thankful for. And I want to release you this morning to thankfulness. Have an amazing Thanksgiving weekend, and let us dwell on all we have to be thankful for. You are released.